and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the only way to understand what Jesus Christ did for mankind is to live as He made us able to live. Truly, His work is unintelligible to the uninitiated. It's unintelligible to the disinterested. It's unintelligible to those who do not try to live as He taught us. The secret to Christian knowledge, it's not much of a secret actually, it's in almost every page of the Bible, it's in all of our services, it is the God-man made us able to live righteously. This is our purpose. And in living righteously, we attain that which was predestined for us to be, to become perfected, to know our Lord, and to have happiness beyond anything we can imagine. The Lord said to His disciples just shortly before He was to be crucified that you will be very sad, but then you will have gladness, and no one will be able to take it away from you. But they had gone through 3 years, 3 years of difficulties, 3 years of inspired teaching, 3 years of seeing miracles, also 3 years of occasional bickering with one another and finding out about their faults and about how selfish they really were and how unworthy they really were. And they saw in contrast the God-man, and they wanted to be like Him before He went to Jerusalem the last time in order to be crucified. They said, "Let's die with Him." Everybody said it. Thomas said, "Let us go that we may die with Him," when it was time to go to Bethany to heal Lazarus, raise him from the dead. And Simon Peter said, "I will never deny you." And everyone else said it as well. But they could not really understand His accomplishment until afterwards, not just after the resurrection, but after they had lived in the resurrection. We know that our Lord, He is not laying dead in the grave. We know that from the moment that He died as a man, He was alive. He went down to Hades and He broke the bars, the bonds of death that the devil had on mankind. He went down like lightning. And when He rose from the dead, He gave us the capability of understanding Him, but only if we live as He lived. I think this is one of the reasons why our church values the lives of the saints, and why we paint their images, and why we pray to them. Because after all, the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Because they are a reflection of what we should be becoming. It can be done. One can understand the meaning of life. One can understand why we live. One can understand why is there evil? Why is there suffering? Why do difficulties arise? One can understand these things. Jesus Christ can give us this understanding, but He will only give this kind of understanding about the inner meaning of things to people that are partakers of His death and His resurrection. Now, His death is not a one-time event in a Christian's life. His death is what we should be dying every day, dying to ourselves. It's not that complicated and that difficult to understand the essence of Christian dogma. It's in the heart. If we are kind to someone who's not kind to us, if we bridle our pride when we hear someone say something about us that's not true or not give us credit for something we did, when we bridle our mind so that we do not think a thought that is displeasing to God, whether it be of pride or of anger or jealousy or of lust, when we attempt to pray when we are tired, when we fast, when we're hungry, when we show love to others who are not very lovable. The Lord showed love to those who were crucifying him and said to his Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this is the template that must be in a Christian, is our Lord's life. If we live according to how he lived, that is, if we make an effort to do so, the power to live is given by him. The ability to be righteous is given by him. But the desire to be righteous must come from us. We must desire to be righteous. Then the Lord takes our desire, puny as it might be, as small as it might be, a little bit of leaven will leaven the entire lump of bread. And he strengthens us so that we can understand. We sing, "He who has hung the heavens and he who has done all these things as God." We just read of Moses seeing God on the mountain. You know who that was? That was Jesus Christ he saw. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ who said many times, we've read in the past 2 days, when he was asked a question, "I am," in answering that question. That for the Jew was, and for the Christian too, since we understand, was saying he was God, because he said to Moses, "I am." We can only understand him if we enter into his life. He's invited us to. It's counterintuitive to the way the world is. In the world, when you desire, take. In the world, when someone hurts you, hurt them. In the world, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. In the world, people are always trying to build up their egos or build up the egos of those who might be able to benefit them. In the world, it is from one pleasure to the next and running away from one sorrow and usually into another sorrow. This is not the Christian way of life. Sorrow for a Christian should always be from within. Nothing from without should make a Christian sad. Now, as far as the human emotion of sadness, it's not a sin to be sad when things happen to us. But I'm talking about that kind of despondency that overtakes a person when they wonder, what purpose is there to my life? What purpose is there to what's going on? Why could this be happening? The sorrow that a person should feel is the kind of sorrow that the Lord felt. That sorrow about sin. That sorrow that there are people that are incomplete, including ourselves now, right? For the Lord, he was sorry about others. We must also include our sorrow as that about ourselves. Sorrow that the Lord wants to give us grace, and so much of it we don't catch and hold on to, so much of it we're not aware of. If you have that kind of sorrow, then you will be like the one who is spoken of in our Lord's first great sermon. Blessed are those that mourn. you mourn, then you will be made glad. You will understand things that right now are unintelligible to you. The only way to understand life is to be willing to live as Christ lived. No, we don't need to raise the dead. We don't need to heal the sick. We don't even need to be perfect. The Lord will make us perfect. We need to attempt to follow His steps as the saints followed. It is a well-worn path now. Let's follow it. If you struggle for righteousness, even when it's difficult, then internally there's a knowledge that wells up and no one can take from you. No occurrence in the world can remove that joy from you or that sure belief from you. For belief to be sure, it must be tested. It is the same in any pursuit. Someone who studies to be a doctor does not really believe they're good and really understand their teaching until they have practiced their craft and seen that, indeed, they understand and can be a healer. No soldier that hasn't been tested is absolutely certain that he would be able to withstand the battle. But after a few battles, and the fear and everything that goes with them, and seeing that he was successful and was able to apply his training and was able to be brave enough to succeed, then he's more sure. Now, does that mean that when the next battle occurs, or he knows that the next battle is going to occur the next day, he's not afraid? By no means. But he does know that he has the capability of fighting the battle. Now, many things are above us. Righteous living is beyond us. But the more we experience small bits of righteousness, the more we understand the whole picture, and the more sure we are that indeed, that our Lord, who right now and the icon is dead and lifeless, is alive and makes us alive. No one can take this from us. The only way that we can have this kind of sure belief, this sure understanding that is part of our bones, is to live righteously. Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see." When Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out?" And he said, "Yes. Come and see. Can anything good come out?" Well, my experience as a confessor is that many of us doubt that much good can come out of our Nazareth. The Lord has made us able to have good come out. The only way, though, to be really sure is to walk the steps, to struggle, to leave off a sin, even only a little, to begin to be righteous, even only a little, to fast more strictly, even only a little, to bridle any passion, even only a little. And the Lord gives, not only does He forgive our sins, but He gives us understanding. Understanding that no book can give you, that no sermon can give you. It must be understood by living. I believe also that the reason, if you look at the things that we stress in Holy Week, these things are about people who loved enough to do something, even in their ignorance. Peter ignorantly said, I'll never betray you. And he did, 3 times. But what was his reaction? Not like Judas. Judas was sorry, but instead he hanged himself. Peter went out and wept, but he still loved. And when the Lord was risen and appeared to him, and later on appeared to him after the fish were caught and restored him, then Peter could really understand. Joseph and Nicodemus, they went to bury a dead man because of love. It was a righteous thing. The church waxes extremely poetic about this. They didn't understand, but they did because of love. And the Lord restored or helped them when he was risen so that they would have their joy made in full. It was because of what they'd done that the Lord could be understood by them. You can go down the line, St. Mary Magdalene, and so many of the others. You have to make an effort, brothers and sisters, if you are to understand. If the Christian life ever seems to you to be somewhat dark, that is, hard to understand, somewhat difficult to be able to logically figure out, if it seems to you, why should I struggle? Why not do this? Why not do that? What's the harm in it? Then you have not been attempting with your whole being to live righteously. If you attempt, I'm not saying succeed now, I'm saying attempt. If you attempt to live righteously, the Lord will incrementally fill you with knowledge, knowledge that no one can take away. To the world, the Lord was dead. In fact, to most of the world, the Lord is still dead. But for us, he's given us the only way to really live. Even in the secular world, you can see how people value sacrifice, people value giving up life, one's life for another. People value when one person helps another, even at the risk of their own life, their own health. We have our own secular saints, our Albert Schweitzers and all those sorts of folk. But if you live expressly to be like Christ, then the good works you do are not just things that perhaps a few people will remember, but they are things in which the Lord will cause you to remember him in a way that no one can take away. So when the Lord is in the tomb today, but we know he really abides in our hearts, and he can only be understood from the heart when you struggle to live as he has taught us to live by his example. His example for his first 3 years of ministry, and also the most perfect example of his holy passion. May God help you to live righteously, even if only a little, so that the Lord would fill you with his knowledge, so that anything which is a misunderstanding or a confusion in your heart, those tares that are sown by the devil, would be burned up. And the only thing remaining would be the pure, uncreated light of God enlightening you. May God help you. Wisdom. He that is blessed, Christ our God, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.